Some more of your comments coming in so far this morning. Greg, thank you for highlighting the hidden issue of drug debt. That's a terrifying scourge on Irish society and fueling the terrorist and respectable drug-dealing parasites that that now thrive so much in every city, town, city and estate in Ireland. Ireland is turning a blind eye to this and snorting, smoking and pilling away in a false sense of joy and happiness to escape the downs and normality of life. Sadly, people are in fear and will rarely speak out as Gardaí and community protection is not there for anyone. Again, you know, senior Gardaí have highlighted that a number of families are having to borrow to meet drug debts. And as I say, and I'll ask you again, if that's something that's impacted you, contact us in absolute confidence, 07491 25000, and help us get that story, that reality for people out there. I'm shocked to hear people living in tents. I got €200 as a bonus yesterday for Christmas. Disability allowance is €400 a week. I'm getting help with electricity and heating. I got the live alone allowance. I never get a break. Respite in Mount Charles is closed down. I haven't got a break in 2 years. I live in Dunlow and we have no Vodafone coverage for a week. Does anyone know why? This is Sheshka in her own. I've been calling all week and keep being given the runaround. It appears all broadband coverage is out for all providers. Does anyone know what is happening? So are you in Sheshka in her own, in Dunlow or surrounding areas? Have you had issues with your Vodafone coverage? This caller seems to suggest it's a broadband problem. Hello, people are calling me Mr. Hughes now, second texter today. Just call me Greg, please. Hello, Greg. Do you happen to know how long the Shop LK gift cards last for? I have one which was issued at the start of December last year, and someone at work said they thought they had a time limit on them or they lost a bit of value over time. Pretty much all vouchers now do sort of reduce in value over time. But I will try and get that information for you, so stay tuned for that. Get you an answer. Let me see. FAQs. Okay. How much value can I put on a Shop LK shop? Can I check my balance? How can I check? How can I use my cards? Let me see. I will see if I can find that information out. It's not just how long is my card valid for? Shop LK gift cards are valid for 5 years from the date of purchase, so it's well in date. Now though, starting the day after the 12-month anniversary of when the card was purchased. So yours was purchased at the start of December last year. So €2 will be deducted each month from the card's balance from now. Right. So you've had that Shop LK voucher for a year and it's the same value as it was when it was given to you. But because now 12 months has passed, the 12-month anniversary has passed, each month going forward, you will lose €2. It's from the card balance. So get on that ASAP. You'd use €24 over the course of a year, but it's there for you now. So spend it now and you won't lose anything. If I bring my plastic bottles back to the shop, do I get cash or a voucher for the same shop? I was in Central Park in New York some years ago and saw the down and outs, as they described them, searching through waste bins looking for plastic bottles and cans so that they could get a few dollars. It's a great idea. Not really quite sure if it's a voucher or cash. I can't imagine those machines would have cash in them, you know, like an ATM, because that could be a security issue. I don't know. Greg, they need to start and get every house using a plastic green bin before adding any more. In Europe, for waste, they give the option of having chickens to eat the waste and they eat and they get eggs from the chicken. The hens will eat the waste. Austria, I think. France want to introduce it too. They give you grants for this. It's green and you get eggs as well. Great way to combat food waste. Never heard tell of that. So you give your food waste to the chicken. The chicken gives you eggs. Okay. I think really what they want to use this food waste for, though, is electricity generation. The small number of complaints to GSOC upheld is irrelevant. If a complaint is made, it could take years to finalise the outcome. No Garda wants to risk his career ending in a year's time because some criminal decided to make a complaint. Garda should be allowed to do their job just like they have done since they were founded. Garda are no more than observers now when public disorder breaks out. And I did mention Well, they were more than observers now down in Dublin. They did use force down there because I watched the videos of as they did it live. But I did point out that it is the GRA. It's the that pointed out as well that it is the case hanging over a guard. And it's had some really quite tragic outcomes. It's the case hanging over a guard that can provide the stress, you know, 2.5 years before you're found to have done nothing wrong. The Christmas boxes of sweets used to come in tins years ago. Now they come in plastic. Why don't they make them tin again if they want to reduce plastics? Well, both tin and plastic are recyclable, but I take your point. They're certainly not as big as they used to be now. Quite stingy, in fact. I want to mention one thing just before I go to the break, and it came in from Veronica. Christmas Lights Tractor Run in aid of St. Bernadette's Special School Letterkenny will take place on Sunday the 10th of December. All vehicles with Christmas lights welcome to come. Registration from 4 p.m. in Milford Retail Park. €20 per vehicle. The run will start at 5 p.m. travelling via Kerrykeel, Rosnakill, Tamney, across the bridge through Carrigart and finishing at the Boardwalk Bar and Restaurant for refreshments and a raffle. So this is this Sunday. Sounds fantastic. Might get a look at that ourselves. Right, so if you want to take part in that, and I know people, I already know people that are doing so, it's going to be wonderful looking forward to that. It's going to look spectacular with all the Christmas lights and what have you. Right, good luck if you're playing the bingo today. It is jackpot day, so theoretically someone could win money, big time. Now we're joined on the programme by Donegal man Lachlan Hart, who has announced that the trailer for his first solo venture podcast, Corny, the Last Irishman in the NFL, is now live. Is it just the trailer? Is the whole podcast gone live now, Lachlan?
So as of yesterday at basically midnight, the whole thing went live.
This is what happens when it takes so long to organise an interview, Lachlan, isn't it? Yeah. Hey, congratulations. Is this your first sort of, you know, big scale solo project?
Yeah, first independent podcast production, yeah. Like, I've been involved in some... thankful and lucky to have been involved in some really big projects. I did the Bertie Ahern and the Good Friday Agreement podcast. I worked on the sound design for that. I've worked on one called Unusual Suspects and then a true crime series called Inside the Crime with Frank Graney, season 1 and 2. So I've been involved in those, but I've never really appreciated the production or the producer side of things, where you have to do all the research, all the phone calls, all the pre-interviews, the interviews, the editing. There's just so much that goes on before it ever got to my table that I never really appreciated. So I wanted to kind of see it myself from the ground up, and it really opened up my eyes and give me 1,000 times more respect for the producer side of things.
All right, this is a 4-part miniseries that delves into the incredible life of Neil O'Donoghue. So talk to me how you come across Neil O'Donoghue. Was it a happenstance, or had you had an interest in him and thought it's a story that needed to be told? How did this all come about?
Yeah, no, this was really bizarre. So about 10, 12 years ago, I was working in London with a company, and they were the first company to do live NFL broadcasts for the BBC. And it was on the red button, so NFL wasn't that big in Europe still at the time. And I was on the graveyard shift in the company. I was kind of lower down the rung, so I was basically just pulling the faders up and down for audio coming from the States. So that was the first time I'd ever really watched NFL. And I remember the first game I watched was with this quarterback called Peyton Manning, and he was phenomenal. And I was like, this is an amazing game. So I remember turning around to them, and there was a few ex-NFL players in the room saying, were there any Irish NFL players? And they all talked about Tom Brady and these guys. And I was like, but anyone actually from Ireland, you know, born here, ever play? And they couldn't think of any. So I just dug deep and did loads of research and found old articles. And there was a book that would have mentioned him once or twice. And basically found out that, unfortunately for him, he was cited as, at the time, as one of the worst athletes in history of any sport. He was remembered for all these bad misses. So he was an NFL kicker. He had all these misses that he missed, like to get them into Super Bowl playoffs and to win divisions and things like that. And now these are really high pressured kicks, you know, with 100,000 people watching, and you have maybe a 2-second window from the ball being thrown to someone catching it and holding it and you kicking it off the ground. So you have a 2-second window to kick it and get it right and win a game that's been played for nearly 3 hours. And then the more I read about him, I was like, God, this guy actually holds loads of records for like the longest kick in college football history, the first ever Irish soccer scholarship to America. He holds the longest, or he's the fifth highest point scorer for one of the biggest teams in the NFL. He was their highest point scorer at the time for 117 points in one season, which was unheard of. So I was fascinated. I was like, how did he come from Clondalkin in Dublin as a GAA and soccer player to becoming an NFL kicker when he'd never watched a game in his life? So I ended up getting in touch with him and his brother. And actually, we had our launch last night in Dublin, and Neil came over. It's the first time I ever met him in person. And I found out then during the live show that Neil was very reluctant to ever tell this story in person with his own voice and everything. And he's turned 70 this year.
And why was that? Why was he reluctant? Is he sort of not shy,
he's just overly modest.
Right.
Like, he had the most phenomenal career. And, you know, he just felt, you know, it was 40 years ago, you know, he didn't think NFL was big in Ireland because he lives in the States still. And they just felt, you know, they'd done like articles for newspapers and stuff, and then the people would come back again for the same article, and it was all about just the games. That's all they were interested in. Whereas, unbeknownst to me, his brother asked me to come down and meet him. His brother is a guy called Coley O'Donoghue, who was actually the architect for Croke Park. So he called me down to his house for an interview. And I thought this was an interview for the podcast, but unbeknownst to me, Neil O'Donoghue himself, Corny, had asked, look, suss him out and see, is he just another journalist looking to make a few bucks off an article, or is he genuinely interested in my story? So funny, actually, I told this story in the night too. Me and my wife, who's from Letterkenny as well, we were due to fly out in the morning at like 5 a.m. And I said, look, I have to go down to this house to do a quick interview. I'll be an hour and I'll be straight back and we'll pack and get ready and everything. And 4 hours later, I'm still in the man's house recording him. And it's about 1 o'clock in the morning and I'm an hour's drive away from the house still. And I pick up my phone and I have like 10 missed calls, 20 messages saying, where are you? Are you okay? What's happened? Is everything? So I was just so engrossed in his story, and I didn't come with a list of any questions or, you know, nothing prepared in that sense. Like, I knew the story in the back of my mind, but the connection I had to this story and this guy was just like from the heart, for real. Like, I was genuinely interested in retelling his story and, you know, retelling all the good things that happened in his career. And from that moment on, his brother Coley was like, this guy is the genuine deal. He actually wants to tell a human story here, not a sports story.
So, I mean, in any good podcast or documentary, I think it's access to, you know, material that is good for me, because, you know yourself, sometimes in the absence of that, it's just talking heads and stuff. And that's fine. Some people like that. I don't like that. I love when when you've got real good access. So clearly you have, because you've got the person himself telling the story. But you didn't leave it at that, and you potentially perhaps could have, because he's not on the record perhaps doing that. You've had to dig in for archive audio footage. I can only imagine what that was like. And also then getting, you know, other people in to sort of tell the story from different perspectives as well. So, you know, this could have been an awful lot simpler than you made it for yourself. You wanted to go to town on this, clearly.
Yeah, like, what was amazing is that, so he came from this club in Dublin called the Round Towers GA Club in Clondalkin. And my first phone call was to Neil. He said, try and find a guy called Tommy Keogh. He's heavily involved in Round Towers. I found this guy called Tommy Keogh, and he's 85 years old. He was a past president of the club, and he invited me down to his house. And when I walked into his shed, he has a shed at the back of his house, and it's like a library of Clondalkin. He's just a hobbyist historian, and he had every photograph, he had every letter, he had every article ever about Corny, but not only about Corny, about anybody in Clondalkin that ever played anything or did anything.
And did he have documentation post his GAA career? What was he tracking him through his NFL career?
100%, yeah.
And was Neil aware of that? Sorry, Lachlan. This is why I don't make podcasts, because I can't shut up for a second. But in fact, would Neil have known that this guy was tracking his USA career?
I don't think he was aware that he was archiving everything.
Wow, okay.
He literally, yeah. So even last night, there's a lovely moment in the podcast where Tommy Keogh himself, the 85-year-old, he was Neil's first coach, actually, when he was 8 years old. When Neil came back to the club in 1985, this was at the height of his career, he came back for a night in the club and he held like a kicking workshop for the club,
right,
for the young players. And on his travels back then, he wanted to write a thank you letter to the club, but he was in such a rush that he actually ended up writing it on a back of a piece of cardboard and posting it. And Tommy kept that letter. And last night, it was the first time since 1985 that Neil saw that letter handwritten in his own handwriting. I have to hand it, the GAA community, never mind the NFL thing. That is, the NFL thing is amazing in its own right. But like the GAA community are just a different breed. I was like blown away by the access they would give you, the time they would give you. Even the beautiful thing last night was that we had this event and they all landed in with big trays of sandwiches to the event. And, you know, and they have the GAA bingo cards waiting for everybody, or the lottery cards. And the access they gave me and the respect, and last night the turnout and the thank yous, it's just like I said this morning too, like as I was making this, at the back of my mind, I was always like, oh, this should be a number one Christmas podcast, number one. And I thought it would be amazing. And then last night on stage, sitting beside Neil, the first words that came out of his mouth, he just broke down in tears on stage. Just, he was overwhelmed by the fact that we even bothered to care enough to tell a story. The fact that the whole community of Glendalkin came out for him, that people were just handing him gifts and photographs. And one guy actually went to the bother of finding, so when he was 8 years old, just to highlight how good a sports player he was, when he was 8 years old, he captained the under 13s to a final, and they won in Croke Park. And one of the guys at the function last night went to the bother to find those original medals from 1963, I think it was. I can't remember the actual, I think it was 1963, and brought the medals, got them cleaned up and presented them to Neil last night. So, and Neil said, like throughout his whole career, and I mean, he played 8 years in the NFL at top level with the likes of OJ Simpson, you know, these big names, and on TV in front of millions, you know, his biggest career win of his life was winning that under 13s championship when he was 8 years old. He just remembers getting on the bus and the pipe band being in Clondalkin when he came home and they had bonfires lit. And, you know, he was just to his core GAA. Yeah.
Must have been just a remarkable journey for him as well. Does he live a modest life in the US?
Yeah, definitely. You know, he's so cavalier about everything. He's like, when he went to America, he actually got a soccer scholarship, the first ever Irish soccer scholarship to America. And after 2 years, that fell through. There was like a price hikes in the US, especially with gas. And they drove to all their football matches or soccer matches around the US. So they actually said, we can't afford to keep this going. So they kept the basketball scholarship and dropped all the soccer scholarships. So, you know, most people would probably just say, okay, I'll just go home. But he had this real tenacity and kind of just this inner belief that I could do more, do something else, and he would move on to the next thing always. So he ended up practicing football kicking and he got trials for a university and ended up securing another 2-year American football soccer scholarship in one of the biggest colleges, like football colleges in America. Like this guy had never, the first game he was ever at was 100,000 people. And a year later, he was playing in that same game. Nice. You know, that's how fast he was progressing. But his, like, I can't even remember what I go on so many tangents.
Focusing on particular parts of it and allowing you to pick it out, because this sounds like you just need to listen to it and enjoy the journey of the story. So, you know, and I mean, it's an easy sell here in Ireland, and it's probably easy to market it because, you know, you can do interviews like this and what have you and spread the word. But obviously this is going to have a huge interest to NFL fans, historians, Irish Americans, you know, a massive hundreds of millions of people may well be interested in this in the United States. How are you going to try and get it into their ears, Lachlan?
So thankfully, like the first steps have been made. The Irish Daily Star in the US, a newspaper, have launched an article there And then we have a few contacts, like any of the Irish kind of business organizations and stuff, especially in New York, have been posting it. But it's difficult to get into the States. You know, if it was official NFL podcast, it might be easier. Basically, we're hoping that the expats will just
organically find it, people will share exactly. That's where the big successes come from too, don't they? Whereas, have you listened to this, or you need to listen to that, or someone hears in a big paper or magazine or online, they say we stumbled across this and you want to listen to it, because I think it sounds like it really needs to be heard. How difficult was it to track down the archive audio?
It was strange, yeah. Like a lot of the games are there, thankfully, but the games are 3 hours long, and a kicker's role, like a kicker may only see 30 seconds in a 3 hour match, because you have your offensive team and your defensive team. And then when the chips are down, they'll bring on this team called the special team, and they literally have about 10 seconds to set up, kick the ball, and hopefully score 3 points. So he may only get one opportunity a game. He may get five. So I literally had to scour through all these games and just, you can see when a special team lines up, so you can kind of scroll through. But then if I scroll too fast, I might miss out on a bit of commentary where they're talking about Neil. So there's lovely moments where they're talking about the mentality of a kicker, and especially Neil in certain moments, like this poor guy, he's famous for this specific game where he missed 3 field goals in sudden death to get them to a Super Bowl playoff. The backlash was so bad that the team put him on suicide watch after it, because press hounded him.
GA fellas and girls as well too, they struggle to get over events like that there. I've spoken to too many of them for it to be otherwise. Yeah. Does he still focus on a game like that?
As in,
does it bother him still?
No. So he, at the time, you know, he was completely alone. You know, they didn't have any mental health facility. Like, they had no services, especially in the teams back then, to like, deal with this kind of stuff. His family were all in America. When he was playing with the Cardinals, he actually was living in a hotel for almost 5 years. Wow. You know, his family home was in Florida, with his family were there. So he had a lot of dark days, definitely. But he had a very close family. Like, his brother and him are like twins almost, and they were constantly in touch. And I would say if it wasn't for his teammates and his brother, you know, it could have went the other way. And he talked about it last night when he got a trial for the kickers. He was pitched against the current kicker, a guy called Steve Little. And this guy was like, he was called a first round draft pick, which is unheard of in kicking, which means, you know, kickers are usually the last to get picked, but he was picked ahead of quarterbacks and everything. He was that good. And after 2 years, he just wasn't able to, he wasn't producing the goods. So they brought Neil in to have a trial against him, and Neil beat him in the trial. And your man said, look, congratulations, let me show you around St. Louis and we'll have a couple of drinks. And Neil was like, oh, you know what, we have a game coming up this weekend and I'm pretty rusty, so I think I'll just get up early and practice. So Neil went to bed that night, and when he woke up in the morning, he turned on the TV. And when he turned on the TV, there was news flash that Steve Little had crashed his car that night.
Wow.
And was paralyzed from the neck down for the rest of his life. And Neil puts that all down to the pressures of the kick-in world. Mm. That, you know, they weren't really understood properly. They had no help, you know. It was like man up.
So much
kind
responsibility
of thing.
And no support. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Listen, Lachlan, I'm looking forward to listen to this, actually. I'm going to listen to the first episode on the way home in the car. It's available on Go Loud, Apple, Spotify as well. Corny, the last Irish man in the NFL. And it's live now. Congrats. Did you have the microphone out last night, or did you let everyone enjoy it, or did you say, do you know what, we've got all these heads now in the one space, there's an episode 5 here?
Yeah, we recorded it all last night. Yeah.
Brilliant.
So I'm being sent a file today, and I'll just go through it. Just Neil and his brother do like to hear bits and pieces before it goes live, just in case they had kind of stories that were just for the community. But we'll chop it down and make it sound nice and clean and everything. And we'll probably release that within the next week or two once we get a bit of traction. But it's nice to hear the emotion kind of raw in front of the people. But yeah, we'll definitely release a bonus episode.
Yeah, and you created all of that. I mean, not just the podcast, which will stand obviously the test of time, but that experience for Neil and his family as well too. It's a remarkable gift you're able to give people. Thanks so much, Lachlan. Great to chat to you. I really do appreciate it. And as I say, I can't wait to listen to it myself. And I'm sure it's going to be a huge success for you. And I do hope it becomes that sort of organic hit in the United States that it clearly deserves to be. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, take care of yourself. That's Lachlan Hart there from Donegal, of course. His podcast, it's his first fully solo venture. It's called Corny, the Last Irishman in the NFL. It's a four-part mini-series. And as you heard from Lachlan there, it delves into the incredible life of Neil O'Donoghue, 6'6" from Dublin, who broke barriers by becoming the last Irishman to play in the National Football League 38 years ago. Thomas on Facebook says, it was really hard listening to Greg talking so flippantly about the COVID inquiry in London and defending Boris Johnson's evidence and actually believing that there's a decent scrap of decency in how Johnson handled the organised scam that was Conjob 19. It's literally not what I said, Thomas, but I appreciate your comment. My assessment was that he was non-combative or what have you, but it was he was questioned very gently as well. Now, he's going to be asked today about... he was asked today, he's going to be asked today about the parties and what have you. But Thomas, what I said was what I was surprised at, just to recap, because maybe sometimes I'm not very good at explaining myself, but I'll just try and explain it once again. What I was saying was I think an awful lot of people perhaps thought that a COVID inquiry would be about, you've described it as con job, talking about that, asking questions about that. And what I said, what I was surprised at, it wasn't about that at all. There was a general acceptance, and there seems to be a general acceptance in the inquiry. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. A general acceptance in the inquiry that everything had to be done that was done. So they're not questioning him about you shouldn't have done lockdowns. They're questioning him in his answering about how he didn't do lockdowns quick enough. And in terms of the vaccine, you know, some people might go, well, what about the efficacy and what have you? But they're not. They're questioning him about the vaccine. Have they done enough about long COVID and what have you? So as I said, and this is all I said, I think might have been a few people that thought the inquiry was about maybe finding out if it ever should have happened at all, if it was anything to worry about, was it just a flu? Do you know all the stuff that you heard? But instead it is accepting that everything is as was, but it's more about the timing of the measures that the government took rather than whether they should have taken them at all. That's all I was saying, Thomas. So I don't know how you got the assessment from what I was saying to where you commented, but I do appreciate all of your comments. I really do. And that's why, out of respect to you, Thomas, I wanted to sort of reply to you. I have not drawn any conclusion about the evidence, whether it's true, false, whatever. It's an inquiry. We watch it, then we decide. I was only sort of assessing the line of questioning and the nature of the responses from Boris Johnson, who's being hung, drawn and quartered for it in the British press, most of it anyway. Okay. Yes. Get out of here, Caroline. Waffling in my ear. All right. She won't come on camera, though. Right. Okay. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Right, so our Cadbury competition is ongoing. Just to give you a sense of some of the entrants that we've received. Well, it's got very cold in here. I hope there's no spirits in here. But anyway, just to give you a sense of some of the entrants that we've had. One of these people, not necessarily from what I'm reading from, but of the people that have been nominated, are going to win this beautiful Cadbury hamper. My wife, Kathleen, is my carer. I'm in a wheelchair. I was in Letterkenny Hospital for a number of months, just home 2 weeks ago. And overall, the last 21 years since I was diagnosed, she was there for me as a wife, as a friend and as a carer. I'd be lost without her. That's why I'm writing to you. I would like to nominate this person and the team in the Donegal Hospice. They all go over and above and a very special team. And it would be great to give them something back. That comes in from Avro. It should go to my father, Joseph, who has been going through cancer treatment for a number of years now. He's 81. Throughout the treatment, he never stops doing things for other people without a thought for what he is going through himself. And a big shout out to the oncology unit in Letterkenny Hospital, who've looked after him so well. And another thing, too, that's happened through these nominations is some lovely words about the care people are getting at Letterkenny University Hospital, that they're getting in the Donegal Hospice, for an example, some great organisations with amazing people in there. I have an awful lot of, believe it or not, affection for Letterkenny University Hospital and the amazing care they've given people close to me, and also to given us Wee Hudson as well, the care they gave him when he was very sick when he was born too. I couldn't say enough good things about the people down there. Right, let me see. I'm going to take another break because we've got quite a bit going on here at Highland Radio, and we're going to have a run through with Sean as to what is coming up. We're going to tell you more about the card draw. We're adding a little bit of je ne sais quoi into it that makes it even more sexy. So stay with us for that. We'll take a break, come back with the weather. Sean will join us, and that'll bring us up to the news at 11. Is our musical guest still on the programme? I can't do a menu, Caroline, because you keep dropping things. Is our musical guest on the show still? Michael English is coming on the programme for sure today. We're so busy, and obviously other people are busy. I flagged that on Monday. It's Thursday now, so we're looking forward to Michael English. He's going to be amongst the acts performing on Monday night. I want to go to that, so I'm trying to move things around so I can get to the Highland Radio Christmas concert on Monday night, and it'd be a great opportunity actually to see so many of you there as well. So I'm higgery jiggery pokering to try and get along to that on Monday night. But we're going to be speaking to a man who definitely will be there, and that's Mr. Michael English. That's all coming and so much more besides over the next hour and 13 minutes. Sean Quinn, sales manager at Highlands, with us because there's an awful lot we need to talk about, an awful lot going on, and we're edging towards sort of deadlines. And that's why it's important to get you in to have a chat, Sean. So we were talking about the car draw, by the way, and if you've been on our social media or on our website, you'll see the car. It's an absolute beauty. I might pop it up here. The car draw, obviously, is on running. Not long to go now, and you're sweetening the deal for us, Sean.
Yeah, it's with a bit of a twist this morning, Greg. So I did kind of allude to it when we were launching the car, but I'm officially saying today that if you haven't bought a ticket, I would suggest that buy one as quick as you can, because on Monday we will be launching for 10 days a €1,000 per day giveaway. So effectively that is 10 grand in cash we will be giving away over a 10-day period from the 11th of December right through until the 22nd. But I must explain about the twist. So we will, we won't disclose at the moment which shows it will be on, but we'll choose a show every single day from the 11th, and we will pick a ticket out of the drum, and we will randomly ring that person. So that person, if they answer the phone, within, I think it's roughly about 5 or 6 ringtones, they will win €1,000 in cash before Christmas.
So there's 10 of those 10 consecutive days. So for 2 weeks, we're giving away €1,000 per day.
Per day.
Right. So listen, folks, if you are inclined to enter the car draw, if you can afford to, you know yourself, the usual caveats. We don't want anyone stretching themselves beyond their limits. But if you have a tenner, or indeed we'll tell you how you can get extra tickets in the moment, enter ASAP, because it means that you will be in with 11 chances of winning. So if you buy your tickets between now and Monday, that means you're in 11 draws effectively. You're in 10 draws for a grand and a draw for a 30,000 plus euro car. Okay, so now's the time to get in on it. You can go onto our website. Single ticket entry is €10. You get an extra ticket if you buy 5. You get an extra 2 tickets if you buy 8. You can put them all in your name or individually name them for other people. So the excitement is not only are you in for a car, but you're also in 10 chances to win a grand. Now, I try and make this point, no way struggle to make it. There's an awful lot of people enter online draws, and fantastic, they do as well. But they're marketed right across the country. They're marketed across Britain and Ireland as well.
Yeah.
Many, many tens of thousands of people enter them. This is primarily for us here in the Northwest, right? So when we talk about 10 prizes of €1,000 and we talk about a car, were not on a scale of some of these other competitions who do fantastic work, by the way, and I'm not in any way trying to draw away from them, but we're not on the scale. So chances are greater. Now, I'm not going to stand over that if you want to sue me, but that would be my take on it. You know what I mean? I believe that is the case, Sean. This is primarily for us. The winners are normally from Donegal. Do you know what I mean?
They are, yeah.
Not from Monaghan and Dublin and Cork and Bristol.
This is a northwest where we are on a daily basis.
Exactly. So to recap on that, and it couldn't be any clearer, there's a draw for a car. €10 the max you'll pay for a ticket. You can get them cheaper the more you buy. You're also in, if you get it between now and Monday, you're in 10 further draws for €1,000. I keep looking at you when I say that because it seems a little bit overly generous. And that's going to be right across our programming. But the caveat is that you have to answer your phone within a set number of rings, 5 or 6 rings. That's normally by the time it goes to your voicemail and a mobile, there or thereabouts. That's not the measuring stick, but that's just to give you an idea. And you have to answer. Is there a phrase that pays, or is it just the answer, or what's the buzz?
No, what we'll do is the answer to the question that you fill in when you actually buy your ticket, we'll ask you that. It's not a difficult question, okay? The key thing is you must answer your phone within that 5-second period. Now, if you don't, we will do a second opportunity during the day. So they say, for instance, we do it on the breakfast show with Lee, and nobody answers the phone. What we'll do is we'll flag it later on in the day, but we'll do it a second.
A different number? Or
a different number. Okay. We'll do a second draw. And if it's still not one, what we'll do is...
give it to me.
We'll actually roll it over.
Yeah.
So the next day will be worth €2,000. So the first number that we ring then on the Tuesday, €2,000. And again, we'll continue the opportunity of, if it doesn't be answered, we'll go again at some stage throughout the day for a second.
All right, okay. So that's the €1,000 cash draws in the car draw. Home for Christmas. Are the applications still open, or what's the story?
It's closed.
Okay.
We got a phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal return and entry. It was so much harder than last year because it was global, Greg, as you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stories we got were just absolutely incredible. So we had an adjudication team, and we sat, and we've come up with somebody who's coming home for Christmas. But obviously, I'm not going to divulge who it is, but we're going through a process now of bringing them.
The logistics, which is where the nightmare begins, as tough as it is to... Okay, that's brilliant. Home for Christmas. We'll give you an update on that as December rolls on.
Exactly.
The school showcase is an exciting wee initiative. What's this about?
Yeah, so this is for all the schools in Donegal. We've opened up an opportunity for us to come to you. And all we ask is, why should we come to you? Why? What will you do to entertain us? So Lee Gooch and the team upstairs will be out on the Monday, the 18th of December, and we're going to pick 2 schools. So we've had quite a lot of entries from parents. And what I'd ask today is that schools, principals, teachers, kids, if you're going into school tomorrow, is asked that question of what can we actually do.
So it could be a song or something. We'll call around, we'll have a lot of fun. Lee Gooch will be there, the crack will be 90.
Yeah,
it's to visit your school and, you know, maybe most schools, I think, are working on something for Christmas. Give us a wee sample of what you're doing.
Exactly. And we'll come into a couple of...
a 5-course meal or nothing.
Not at all. No, we'll come into a couple of shows during the day and we're bringing prizes with us. So we have a tablet for each school that we go to. With some selection boxes for
now. I've got Home for Christmas and Coming Home for Christmas. Are they the same thing?
They're the same.
Put it twice. Fantastic. I might actually be able to squeeze you in. So that's the school showcase. Yep. Get in touch with us. We'll work with you. If you want us to come visit your school live, put it out in the radio. We'll bring loads of goodies. And I'm sure you're rehearsing something for the holiday period for Christmas. And we'll just get a wee bit of entertainment out of you as well. And lastly, the Hospitality Awards. A phenomenal response to this. It's actually mind-blowing. Have you a figure?
We're over 10,000 nominations.
Massive. Okay.
Yeah, it's massive. It's brilliant. So what we're saying is if you haven't done it yet, please do it because we've less than a week for nominations. They will close. We'll go through our process then of shortlisting. So if you get it onto highlandreader.com, you go onto our website, you really can't miss it. It's sitting there. And if you feel that place, that restaurant, that bar, that facility... they deserve your vote.
The staff.
Go for it. Absolutely. If you're working there, because the shortlisted businesses will be there in the night It'll be a brilliant night. Everybody will enjoy it. It's on the 4th of February. It's something to look forward to.
And it's in the Twin Towns too. Jackson's. Brilliant setting.
I was up there yesterday looking at it, so it's... We'll just make sure it's an unbelievable
place. Well, the facility's amazing, so it's going to make it an easy job for you. Absolutely. All right, Sean, listen, thanks very much for that.
Just before before we go there, very quickly, Greg, if people want to buy tickets today, they can ring us. I've got extra people looking after phones, so they can ring us on 074-91-25,000.
So this is the tickets for the card draw. For you to be in with a chance to win £1,000 a day for 10 days, it's 11 draws effectively. You need to get your tickets. So... It's perfectly safe and secure online, highlandradio.com. You'll see the banner there. But we obviously want to facilitate everyone. So if you want to call us and do it, Sean, you've laid on extra staff. You can call us right now, 074-91-25,000. That ensures you're in all 11 draws.
Exactly.
Okay. Brilliant stuff, Sean. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Greg.
We're going to be going to the 11 o'clock news, which will be a couple of minutes late. Bear with us.